Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them. From the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums, to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. My guest today is AJ Jacobs. You might know AJ Jacobs as the author of It's All Relative, which came out in 2017. But AJ, you and I first spoke, I don't know, 2015 or 2016 about your family photos. But for people that don't know you, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? And by the way, thank you for being on The Photo Detective.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm a big fan. I am a writer, a nonfiction writer, and I've written several books that sort of combine memoir with an adventure I undertake. So the one that's most relevant is It's All Relative, which was about genealogy and family history. And that began because I got an email from someone, this guy I never met, and he said, I don't know you, but I've read some of your books and you're my 12th cousin. And I was, you know, quite skeptical. I thought he was going to ask me to wire $10,000 to Nigeria or something like that. But it turned out he was legitimate and he's just a rabid genealogist, like so many people I had the pleasure of meeting. And he's building this massive family tree. And that is what prompted my sort of 2-year quest to try to find as many cousins as I could, and with the ultimate goal of figuring out how I'm cousins with everyone on earth, including you, Maureen.
Oh, I don't think we're cousins, are we, AJ?
Well, it depends how you define cousins. We're all cousins.
We're all cousins, right?
We all come from the same, the mitochondrial Eve and the Y chromosome Adam.
That's right. That's right. So in 2017, in your book, which is a lovely sort of memoir of your experience with this whole genealogy field, which 12th cousin, I mean, a 12th cousin, you hardly share any, you probably don't even share much DNA with a 12th cousin.
No, that's way back in the shtetl. I'm Jewish and he is too. So,
yeah, I mean, you made some, I'm not sure you thought of them as predictions at the time, but sort of predictions about, like, let's talk about DNA for a minute, about how much sharing of DNA there would be. And here we are 5 years later. It's a huge industry. I mean, even bigger than it was 5 years ago.
Absolutely. And I still find it fascinating. I am still undecided whether it's overall going to be good for the world or not so good, because it's got wonderful parts to it. I love the idea of finding these distant relatives you didn't know you had, and just creating this new family. On the other hand, you've got the Maury Povich problem, where you've got, you know, a lot of people, an estimated 1-2% of people whose father is not who they thought it was. And so that's exposing it. And I have in my book one guy who had 8 brothers and sisters, and through DNA testing, they realized they had 8 different fathers. And some took it well, like, oh, this is awesome, I have new cousins and step brothers and sisters and others not so happy. So as I say, it's got pros and cons.
And then you approached me to say, hey, I have these family photographs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what can you tell me about them?
Right. I wanted to interview all these interesting people with specialties in genealogy. And of course, you are the queen of photographs. And so I had the pleasure of you helping me because I am lucky, actually. I have a lot of very cool photographs of my family. And you gave me a lesson on the fascinating sort of history. We talked about why my ancestors did not smile in photographs. We talked about sort of the gorgeous borders that these professional photographers would create. We talked about I love the idea of the sort of the street photographers, which we still have at Disney World. They come up and they take your photo and then sell it. But this was apparently, according to you, sort of everywhere. So yeah, you helped really deepen my adventure. So thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything surprising when you look back at the 2017 book that surprising to you about what you wrote about then and how you feel about it all now? I mean, what about the 12th cousin? Is he still in the picture?
I still email him occasionally. And yeah, I would say overall, it was an amazing experience. As you know, at the end of it, I threw this global family reunion, which was the idea was we're all related. So let's have all 7 billion cousins come and celebrate. We did not get 7 billion, but we did get 4,000 in New York and about 10,000 at smaller parties around the world that were simultaneous. And we had amazing speakers like Henry Louis Gates and Maureen Taylor. So it was sort of an education. And just to remind people that we are all one big family and try to break down some of the tribalism and us versus them thinking that has been so prevalent recently. So I would say, I mean, when I look back, one of the things that surprises me is that in the global family reunion actually took place because I am not an event planner. And it was like a year of my life just organizing, and it was just so overwhelming. I had no idea what I was doing, but no one sued me. It wasn't like Woodstock and brown acid was passed around. Everything seemed to go relatively smoothly, but
it was really enjoyable.
Oh, thanks, Maureen. I had a terrible time, actually, because I was so worried and so stressed out, but other people said they had a good time. And I will say, yeah, people had asked me to do another one. First of all, yeah, I can't afford it. I have to write books. I mean, I can't spend a year. and then, of course, as you pointed out just before we went on, before the recording, you know, now you can hardly get 3 people in a space at one time.
Pretty much. even with masks, it's not comfortable.
That's right.
What have you worked on since It's All Relative? I know your career, you sort of meander a little bit from good idea to good idea.
Well, thank you. And thank you for saying they're good. But I did one right after It's All Relative, which sounds like a very different idea, but it's actually very similar because it's all about how we're all interrelated and how everything is sort of this idea of 6 degrees of separation. So for that one, I took a cup of coffee, my morning cup of coffee, and I tried to thank everyone who had even the smallest role in making it possible. And that turned out to be over 1,000 people. So it's called Thanks 1,000. And I went to South America and I thanked the farmers, but I thanked the barista, of course. But there are so many people in between. There's the guy who drove the truck with the coffee beans, and he couldn't have done his job if there wasn't a road. So I had to thank the people who paved the road and the person who painted the yellow lines in the middle of the road so the truck didn't get into an accident. So it was sort of an exercise in realizing how everything is so much a part of a network, including family. Family is sort of the original.
Yeah, family is the original. And
wouldn't have happened without it.
Right. I mean, you take it for granted. You go get your coffee and that's it, right? You just don't think about it all, but you took it down to another level, but how everything is interconnected. And then with the It's All Relative, how we're all interrelated. I don't know if you're familiar with a website called WikiTree. Are you familiar with WikiTree?
Oh, yeah. I love WikiTree, and I've appeared on the, they have a sort of a challenge where they take one person who is, I'm certainly not, oh, you did it?
Yeah, That's great. I did the challenge.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So did they break down any brick walls for you?
They did. They mostly focused on my mom's French Canadian because that's so well documented. Unfortunately, I'm still left with all the sort of dead ends on my dad's side, but I continue to hope.
And what ethnicity is your dad's side?
English and Irish. So there's just a lot of dead ends there that I keep trying to break down little bit by little bit. But the French Canadian side, they brought me way, way, way back into France and you know, way back to the early period.
Really? So any French, what did you have? Did you have anyone at Versailles, or were they milkmaids? What were they doing there?
No, there's some royal lines because French Canadian ancestry connects to the Fille de Roy, you know, the daughters of the king who came over and intermarried with, I think, the soldiers that were in Quebec. And so I have a few of those lines, not as many as some of my friends who say, oh, I have 14 Fille de Roy. I don't have that many. I'm happy with the one I've got. But it's still really interesting to see how far back you can go with some of this family history. You know, of course, genealogists will say, well, how well documented can it be? But to me, it was thrilling to do the challenge. I don't know about you. Did they get to do some of your brick walls?
They found some amazing stuff. I mean, I think they found some relatives who I didn't know about, including ones who had some really sort of juicy stories about like murder and in a pharmacy. And I just loved it. And yeah, I'm a big fan of WikiTree. I also use Genie a lot in this. And as you say, the downside is sometimes these are not as well documented as they should be. And hopefully, you know, they're on a crusade to try to clean that up. But the upside is, yeah, it's really an extraordinary tool because you have thousands of people working on this jigsaw puzzle at the same time. So having that amount of brain power and resources and ambition is just, you know, that's why Genie has, I guess it's about 180 million people connected on the global family tree.
Wow. Well, it's always good to have another person look at your family tree. I mean, for me, what they found was a picture of my great-great-grandparents who lived not very far from where I live right now. Hmm. But they found an article in the paper and a portrait of, not a portrait, but a sort of family portrait of everyone on this line. And the article was like, oh my goodness. They spent their day in prayer.
Wow.
Their house was stripped down. It just had religious icons everywhere. And they just got up every day and prayed all day. And I thought, oh my goodness, I did. My mom is 92. And I immediately called her attesting, you know, the 92-year-old brain to say, did you know this about these people? Like, really, did you know anything about these people like that? And she said, no, but it explains a lot.
Well, it is fascinating just how religious people were. I mean, that's one of the lessons I learned while researching my family is just how, you know, religion really has faded a lot. It's still a powerful force. But back then it was just like, because you read, you know, one of my ancestors was he was in the Civil War. He was like a Jewish soldier in the Civil War. He only lasted like a month. I don't know what happened there, but he was honorably discharged. It's not clear why.
When you're doing this family research, AJ, I mean, did you come across more photographs of your family than you had before because you'd made these connections with people?
Oh, absolutely. It was amazing. I mean, there was this one woman who I found through Jeannie, who was a second or third cousin. And yeah, she sent me all these photographs of my great grandparents and my great great grandparents that I didn't have. So I really do. I'm a big believer in getting out there and networking because you are going to find things that you would never have that and my family kept very good archives. Like on my mother's side, I have a hard drive with, I would say, a couple thousand photos, but there were still so many more. And one of my favorite photos, by the way, apropos of nothing, is I just love seeing the strong women in my heritage and getting a sense of life was not easy. Like my great grandma, my favorite photo of her is she's in this long dress and she's got this wooden tennis racket and she's on the tennis court. And I'm just like, how did they play tennis with this long flowing dress that, you know, who knows how much it weighed? And she had a huge hat that was, you know, a floral hat. How do you even run around and hit the ball? So,
well, it was a different sport, AJ, then. So you would hit the ball to each other. I don't think there was much running around the court like there is today. It was sort of,
I see.
You'd lob the ball and they hit it. They hit it back. I think it was a totally different game for women that are dressed like that. You well, couldn't run. How could you run?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that is amazing. Just the restrictiveness of women's clothing throughout the centuries. It is.
It's amazing. Hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah.
How did we put up with that?
I don't know. It seems like you've been able to throw off the chains for the most part.
We're working on it as a gender.
That's right. What? Still a ways to go.
All right. So you did the coffee. Thank you, everyone, for the coffee. I know you must have worked on something else between then and now.
Or I do. I have a book coming out in April, and it's called The Puzzler. And it's about my obsession with puzzles of all kinds. I love crosswords, jigsaw, Rubik's, logic, riddles. And actually, just to tie it back to you, I mean, genealogy is very much like a puzzle. You are really, it's like a logic puzzle. You're taking all these little strands of evidence and trying to form a solution. So it plays into my love of all things, but genealogy is a puzzle, but this focuses on the other more traditional puzzles, which I love.
Oh, I made a number of those last year. Because of course, many genealogists actually put puzzles together because it helps us think, and genealogy is a puzzle. How do you get from point A to point B, and point B might not fit, so you have to go to point C or point D, and then you go back to A because maybe you did it wrong. You know, so you're testing all those little puzzle pieces over and over again. What do your children think of this book that you wrote on not only the coffee book, and now you're working on the puzzle book, but about the family history book? I mean, what do they think about all this family history information that you've uncovered?
Well, I was delighted. I mean, you know, they were younger at the time, so they weren't 100% obsessed with it as I had hoped, but they were actually really, they were taken by this idea that they wouldn't be around except for their grandmother, then their great grandmother, then their great great. So I remember one of my sons, when my mother handed him something, he said, "I want, you know, thank you, grandma, and thank you, great grandma, for having grandma, and thank you, great great grandma, for having great grandma." And so, sort of, he really grasped the idea of the chain that it takes. And just the sort of the miracle of the fact that how much had to go right, how much had to happen for him to even exist.
What was the most surprising thing you found out about your family, other than being contacted by the 12th cousin?
Well, my grandfather is a fascinating character, my mother's father. And I knew a good amount about him, but I learned a lot more through my research. He was a lawyer in New York City in the 70s. He sort of represented the labor unions a lot, but I found a lot more about him from his FBI files, which were hundreds of pages long. And it was mostly because he represented Martin Luther King in a lawsuit. He was Martin Luther King's lawyer when King sued the Alabama Police Department. But the amount that they had stories about how my grandfather would court my grandmother by climbing up the wall of her dormitory at Cornell. And yeah, just the level of detail that the FBI had was pretty impressive. They never got him. They never got him for anything. But I guess the J. Edgar Hoover, not a fan of MLK.
That's interesting that you found all that personal information because he was under surveillance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the other one I didn't know about was he was one of the organizers of JFK's birthday party where Marilyn Monroe sang "Happy Birthday, Mr. President." So I love having like little touch points of history. And I'm like, oh, my God, my grandfather was actually involved in that a little. Oh, and he was also involved in this program that brought students from Africa to study in the United States. And one of the students was named Barack Obama Sr., who went to study in Hawaii. So that one I actually knew about before the genealogy book, but it was amazing to see the records.
Did he talk about this kind of thing with you?
Yeah, he did, actually. He was very open, and he was tickled when Obama became president that he had had, like, you know, just a tiny part in making it possible. So he was still alive at the very end of his life when Obama became president. But, you know, he couldn't, you can't remember everything in your life, especially, you know, he had a busy life. So there was so much that I didn't know about that I found through the FBI, but also just through interviewing people and reading newspaper clips. Because I do think genealogy has sort of these three revolutions that are happening: the DNA revolution, the internet revolution, and also just the archives newspaper revolution. I mean, I loved, one of my favorite parts was just newspaper.com and searching for my family, searching random relatives. And again, they had photographs that I would never have seen if I hadn't searched the newspapers.
Exactly. I'd never have this story about these great grandparents.
Right.
But what about unanswered questions? What questions do you have about your family that have never been answered and that you still hope you'll find an answer about?
Well, there are tons that are of mysteries that I would love to know. And I'm not optimistic, but there, a lot of them are legends that I've heard that are just so wonderful. But I wonder what is the real story? Like one of my, she's not my direct, she's my great, great, great aunt, I think. And the legend is that she was in Poland. We were Polish Jews, and it was her wedding day, and they had set it all up with all the food and the rabbi, and the groom didn't show up. And so her relative, her dad was like, all right, I'm going to fix this. And he walked around the town and saw some single guy and was like, you want to marry my daughter? And the guy's like, all right. And so they got married, and allegedly they were happily married for 50 years. I love the story, but is it true? I don't know. I mean, probably a seed of truth in there. Oh, and by the way, the other husband came the next day and he said, oh, the wheel on my cart broke. And the father's like, sorry, you know,
he's too late.
Yeah.
Too late. Well, that's an interesting story, AJ. You got to wonder, like, how much of that could possibly be true. I mean, she had to agree to marry this man she didn't know, and this man she didn't know had to agree to marry her.
Right. And
there must have been some carrot dangled.
I suppose. Yeah. Yeah, I would. I wish I could go back in time and be at the wedding. Yeah. It would be fascinating.
Yeah. Well, that's it, right? That's the thing that they put on social media all the time. If you could go back in time and talk to one ancestor, who would it be?
That's it.
And you'd want to be at the wedding.
Yeah, I would. What's your answer to that?
Well, I've got a couple of black sheep in the family. I like to sit down with this one guy and say, and where are you actually from? You always said you were from Connecticut, but it appears you just popped up. I think you just said it was Bridgeport, Connecticut, because it was convenient, but we have no idea where you're really from. Please tell me. Please, please, please tell me where you're really from. I can't take it anymore. Anyway, AJ, it's been great talking with you. I can't wait for your new book on puzzles. I love puzzles. I'm not a big word puzzle online thing, like this Wordle phase that we're in right now is driving me crazy. Yes.
I am a fan, I have to say. But yeah, as I say, you do puzzles for a living. You find clues in photographs and find surprising solutions. So yeah, I'm hoping you like it.
Yeah. Well, I hope everyone checks out your book. It's All Relative if they haven't already. I know it was written in 2017, but it's evergreen. There's a lot of good information in there. And you'll get to see the development of what AJ thought was going to happen and what pretty much has your story of how you made your family discoveries, all based on this one phone call and where it all led you.
Well, thank you, Maureen, and thank you for being a part of it. And yeah, it was a delight to talk.
Anytime, AJ. Anytime. Bring me some more photos.
Okay, I will.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Maureen.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review. And if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.